And the UK is an interesting place. I mean, it's very interesting for me because I grew up in Africa, but I grew up going to British schools, British post-colonial schools. I was fascinated. Like Ghana, did you get educated in Ghana? British schools, right? Oh, who? What kind of schools? Oh, government schools. Government schools. Okay. So I don't know what your curriculum was, but our curriculum was very strange, because we were in Africa, but we were learning English, French, and Latin. We were not learning any African languages. Latin's a dead language. There's no one walking around talking Latin. My school thought there was more chance I'm gonna run into the ghost of Julius Caesar than another African. And in history, what did we learn? Oh, we learned about Henry VIII and William the Conqueror. We did not learn any African history, even though we were in Africa. And then I moved to the UK and I heard all these people saying, why do all these immigrants come here? And I was like, well, you spend decades teaching me. Where did you think I was gonna go? Should have taught me Japanese or something. But as much as I talk about all these people who saying, oh, these immigrants coming here, I actually think it's not a lot of people. It's not a lot of people. I mean, they're always in the press, but it's a minority. Like, you know, I was mentioned Trump. Do you think like a Trump figure could win in the UK?
No.
I don't think so. Because look, there are some nutters. There are definitely some nutters in the UK. But I've lived in 9 different countries, and by and large, the UK is the most accepting place I've ever lived. It is, because most of you could not give a fuck. You are not bothered by race at all. You don't have time. In fact, I would go so far as to say, you hate each other more than foreigners. I live in Manchester and I've been told, oh, you're black, it's fine, at least you're not from Liverpool. And the other thing which is lovely is, I mean, if you ever need proof that the UK has come a long way, look at the fact that the British National Party fell apart. They're no longer a party. And the reason they fell apart is brilliant. They fell apart because they forgot to file the paperwork to renew their status as a party. They were defeated by admin. And you know what must drive them crazy? I bet they all know if they had a few immigrants working in the office, they would have been fine. The good thing also in the UK is you can talk about everything. You can do jokes about the government. I can do Theresa May jokes, no problem. I can talk about the Queen, no problem. It's not the same everywhere. You think I'm ever going to North Korea and drop in some hill? This is like Fatty Kim, yo. No. In fact, I'm not even gonna put that on the special. Just gonna edit it just in case he watches it. No. Kim Jong-un jokes, no. Putin jokes, nothing. I actually got in trouble in Malawi over a joke. And at the time, my dad was in the Malawi government. You'd think that gives me some protection. No, it did not. My dad was a minister, government minister. And it was interesting, because when I was younger, he was obsessed with my education. No matter what grades I got, they weren't good enough. If I got 5 A's, 2 B's, he'd say, no! You're not reaching your potential, huh? Apply yourself! If I got 7 A's, 1 B, no. Apply yourself. Not reaching your potential, he'd lock me up, make me study. And I understand, though. He just wanted to be proud of me. He was pushing me to be the best version of myself. And you know, he's still in the government, right? He's still in the Malawi government. So I called him the other day and I said, Dad, there are food shortages all over Malawi and there's strikes in the street. Apply yourself. I don't think you're reaching your potential. I did this joke on a Monday, Tuesday morning, front page of all the Malawi papers was my face. And the headline, Minister's Son Ridicules Government. I got a call from the Malawi Censorship Board angry. They said, "We have heard you are trying to bring down the government. We are coming to arrest you. Where do you live?" And so I'm happier in the UK. I mean, I love being in the UK. It's a very accepting place. It's also like you're educated about other countries. Like, you know Africa's a real place. You say, you know why I say this? Because I visited America to do some gigs. Now, do we have any actual Americans in the room? Hello? Hello, Americans? We need an apology from you for Trump? No, I'm kidding. No. But what I'm saying is, what I'm about to say does not apply to you because you are clearly Americans who have traveled. But what I noticed is there are some Americans who have stayed in America and know nothing about any other country other than America. And when they found out from Africa, they'll be like, "Oh, dog, you from Africa? Are there cars in Africa?" I just went with it. I said, "No, you ride the elephant." We put the bag in the trunk. We say, "Go, Dumbo." And people always think I'm talking about white Americans. No, the weirdest questions I got was from black Americans. Because to them, Africa's the motherland. It's their roots. One guy, Kyle, came to me and said, yo, dog, man. Can you help me, man? Can you help me? Can you give me an African name? I want to do that Malcolm X thing. I want to cross out my slave name, replace it, blam, with some Wakanda shit, man. Come on. I said, "Okay, your name is now Mazunzo. Good name, my brother's name." He said, "No, dog! I want a real African name. I want a name with a click." I said, "Okay, your name is Ngo. He said, "That's some cool shit. What's it mean?" I said, "It means you're an idiot. That's what it means." I'm not saying that they're not cultural differences. Of course they're cultural differences. Of course there are lots of things which are different about us. We've got, I was talking about the churches. I was talking about the churches. Religion is very different in Africa. Right? It's very different, very serious. But I still make fun of it. You know, a lot of people say you shouldn't make fun of stuff. I still write jokes about it because I can see the funny. I remember when I was a kid, the first time I walked past a church, I said to my dad, Dad, why is there a cross on that house?" My dad said, "Well, the person who started that religion died on a cross, so to remember him, we have the crucifix." The next day, I was walking past the synagogue, and I saw the Jewish star, and I was like, "Wow, the person who started that religion was killed by ninjas." And you know how we make holy water? Priest gets regular water, blesses it, it becomes holy. If I was a priest, I would bless everything. I'll go to McDonald's, order a burger. Holy cow. I'll get some tacos. Holy guacamole. Take a dump. Holy shit. And my family was so religious. My teenage years, I started acting up. A lot of your parents would have called a psychiatrist. My dad called an exorcist. I do not know if any of you have ever been exorcised. It's not fun. They strap you to the bed with ropes. They start pouring holy water down your mouth. I was like, My dad did not think this was enough. He believes you spare the rod, you spoil the child. There was a big wooden cross. He grabbed it, passed it to the priest, and said, "Beat him! Beat the devil out of him!" The priest began to whack me. I was on the bed like, So understandably, when the priest said, "Satan!" I figured I'd better play along. Now, I've watched the Exorcist movie. I can't turn my head around 360 degrees, but I gave it a good shot. I was like, And he said, Lucifer! I put on my best Satan voice. I was like,
yeah?
He said, Satan, leave this boy! I'm leaving. Then I got a great idea. I pointed at my dad and said, I'm going into hell!